Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is how I fight my battles, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Aston Villa survived while Chelsea and Manchester United qualified for the Champions League. It's the 27th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
How about that last day action, guys?
Yeah. Busy.
Oh, Jim, the business end is over.
It's done for most.
For
all. I've still got a week of potential stress.
FA Cup final's not business end. Business end specifically refers to the league, surely.
No, you say
that's an interesting point.
You say that. I think it's the way that it's sort of framed because, you know, the sort of who needs what sort of guides that you get before the final day of the season on like The Guardian or BBC Sport or whatever. I mean, Jim sent us a very useful twist on that on our WhatsApp group. But the one that really amused me, I think it was in The Guardian, where it was like, Chelsea, you know, need a point, for example. Yeah. And then it said, Arsenal need to win the FA Cup final next week to qualify for Europe. So it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like, that was really rude and baiting, I felt.
Yeah, but you don't go into the cup final and go, right, well, what's the permutations? What do the two needs need? Well, the win.
Yeah. No, but you don't go into the last league game of the season. What do we need today? We need to win next week.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of European competition, they're absolutely right, Andy. And you do well to remember that.
I will.
The big story, of course, really. I mean, there's lots of stories and so on and so forth. There was Jesse Lingard scored. but before we get onto that, straight to the relegation battle.
Yeah.
Aston Villa survived, Jim.
And didn't they sort of cut it close on occasions? It was really, really stressful to watch. I was kind of rooting for Villa, so I was watching the Arsenal game on one screen.
What did you want to happen? So you have... You wanted Villa to survive.
Yeah.
Assume you wanted Leicester.
Yeah, I would have liked to see Leicester finish in the top four. Uh-huh. We'll come on to that. But actually, ultimately, they clearly didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. We'll come on to that.
And you wanted Spurs in the Europa.
I try not to think about them at the moment, actually.
The big thing that disappointed me was Nick Pope not getting a clean sheet.
Yeah.
To be fair, when
that was quite far down my list. I don't know about you, Andy.
Hopes and desires for the final day of the Premier League season.
I had a lot of hope for the Pope, but he didn't do it. But I mean, what a way to... I mean, if you're going to, you know, get one past Nick Pope, what a goal that was.
That's what it takes these days. That's what it takes.
Yeah. So that was the big disappointment for me, was that Nick Pope didn't get to share that golden glove. He didn't get to get a few fingers of the golden glove with Edison. But, Jim, we go back to the relegation business, because you can't begrudge that with Jack Grealish, can you, unless you're a Watford fan?
No, it was what a finish it was as well. It was one of those ones where you think he's probably not even going to get a shot away. And I think Fabianski could probably do better, but might have been taken by surprise.
I think that's fair, because it doesn't look like Grealish has created enough space to make the shot. There's a lot of traffic in front of him, and then you expect the ball to move a little bit more than it actually does, because Fabianski kind of dives past it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a good goalkeeper, and you know, West Ham are generally quite indebted to him. Yeah. So I think him conceding a goal like that, which, you know, maybe he could have saved, maybe he couldn't, I think in a non-game for them, I think it's kind of hard to level at him.
He won't be getting dropped for Willy Caballero, which is what happens to any goalkeeper who's struggling a little bit. He's like the Fraser Campbell kind of type of sub for me.
Does Caballero play for everyone?
Yeah.
If you're a goalkeeper and your club signed Willy Caballero, you'd be going, uh-oh. Oh no, my days are at number one are numbered.
Yeah.
Well, Villa was 7 points from safety a few weeks ago. So considering they survived, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, surely.
Yeah.
Surely they're down. But
I think a lot of their own players thought that in the manner in which they were playing, which is quite...
Mm. But it was very fitting for Grealish to score.
It was, but also, like, what was it? Like, it was under a minute or so later where a goal deflected in off of him. And it was so unlucky as well. And at that point, I think Watford were at 3-2. And it did have that sense of inevitability, isn't it? Mm. And it's so nice to see that sense of inevitability come to nothing for somebody. You know what I mean?
I did think, yeah. If Troy Deeney sort of gets the winner against Arsenal.
And he had a header as well.
Yeah. And so I told you they didn't have the bollocks for this sort of thing. but it was close, Andy. I mean, the way it was, the goal difference as well. I mean, 1-1 was better for Villa than 0-0, goal scored for and all that kind of crap. But that goal that West Ham scored, people obviously liked it to Andreas Bremer's goal against England in the 1990 World Cup.
That's what Darren Fletcher said on commentary.
Straight away, he said,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he did. You know, and I've not seen a deflection like that since Paul Parker in 1990.
Yeah. Well, it was the same.
It was very Train Spotting-esque commentary, wasn't it?
but my goodness, yeah, he almost sort of nearly sucked the joy completely from Villa's day. And then you saw when the full-time whistle went, Dean Smith's going, hang on, not yet, wait. Because they thought a point, which obviously ultimately was...
Well, yeah, I mean, they've seen previous teams celebrating too soon. I think Schalke, Scarborough.
Manchester City.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I remember they were 2-0 down, 2-2, and they were holding the ball in the corner and all this kind of stuff. And they were relegated that day. I mean, you would look ridiculous, because there were times when Villa were time-wasting at the end. Because clearly the news they're getting is... Even if Watford equalise, you know, we'll be okay.
Is that what John Terry was doing in his earpiece?
I hate to think what John Terry's getting in his earpiece.
Because he was very chatty, wasn't he? Mm. While Dean Smith was chatting to the players.
Yeah.
John Terry was on the line.
Yeah, well...
Could be anything, couldn't it?
It really could be. What about old Watford themselves? I mean, they were 3-0 down. For crying out loud.
Yeah, it was weird, because they weren't as bad as that reflect, because they actually they took the game to Arsenal quite a lot in the first half, actually, but they just didn't have the quality to really do anything with it. Like, Aubameyang's goal was brilliant, but how's he got the space to do that?
You just saw Ben Foster's reaction of just crying out loud. Like, he kept the goal difference at bay against Manchester City, of course. But... I know we've talked about it, blah, 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 but that decision to get rid of Nigel Pearson.
Do you think it actually would have made a difference, though, with the fixtures they had?
Well, it's more the fact that they did it and look at the outcome.
Yeah.
And that will be...
I mean, it's a total hospital pass for Hayden Mullins. I mean, someone who's clearly got ambitions to be a top-flight coach. Mm. I've no idea whether he would be a great top-flight coach or not. I don't really know enough about him as a coach, but... I mean, it's just an impossible task, really, getting lumbered in for that. You know, I mean, if they'd have just about got over the line, you know, two games is not a period in which you can really prove everything. I mean, I know Watford have done very, very well at turning over coaches over the years, but maybe this was the bit of turnover too far, really.
Yeah. It's 5 seasons in the Premier League for Watford.
And this is the first time they've even come close to getting relegated. They've been... safe pretty much all the rest of those. And when you think how much teams spend to get in the Premier League. I mean, I know especially like the likes of Ian Holloway were very upset about the way they did resource sharing at the start of the Pozzo era. But I think they must have spent less than pretty much any club to get in the Premier League because they shared those resources between initially Granada, of course, they don't own them anymore, but certainly Udinese as well. And to me, it seems like a very healthy and sustainable way of running a football club. I'm not talking about the way they deal with coaches. That's a different matter entirely. But I think it's, you know, people talk about Bournemouth sometimes as a fairy tale, don't they? I mean, they have thrown a lot of money at it. Yeah. And Watford have never been in the same ballpark, really. Mm-hmm. And it's...
They've bought, you know, cleverly,
it's a
though,
shame that hasn't worked out.
Players like Adelaide, Decore, obviously they've done very well with bringing through certain players and keeping a core together. It's interesting because the squad isn't that different now than it is from some of the teams they've had that have done really, really well. And 5 seasons, like, it seems like longer than that to me. And it does show you quite how quickly, like, a sort of, in quotes, established team can go down. It doesn't take very long for a team to feel like part of the furniture. And Watford have definitely got to that point.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you there. But then, you know, it's between them and Aston Villa. I mean, Aston Villa, you know, you don't need to tell them that they should be an established Premier League side, where you think of the history of that club, the city where they're from, blah, 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 blah.
But it is funny how they spent the last, 3 years before they went down from the Premier League looking for all the world like they were going to go down before they actually did go down.
Circling the drain for a long time.
Yeah, and now they've taken up the exact same position, having come back up. You know, they've looked like they were going to go down all season and just about escaped at the end. I mean, you know, I think you go back to some of those seasons where they just about got away with it, and Villa Park was what saw them over the line. I know you can eulogise about Villa Park to the extent it's almost a cliche, but I think it's true. It is one of those great old English football grounds. And, you know, I remember being there when they beat Sunderland 6-1 when they had that little motoring at the end of the season to stay up. And it was just such an occasion. Like, Villa Park under the lights is amazing. I think Villa Park under the lights and Old White Hart Lane under the lights were just absolutely fantastic. And it has been something they've missed. But, you know, I know a lot of people were saying, oh, well, the last day of the season won't be the same, not just without any fans, but without any crying fans when teams go down. But I think there's so much range of emotion in Dean Smith's face.
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah,
you were covered. I mean, there was a guy who really, really went through it.
And a fan. So yes, actually, kind of got everything you need at once. Jack Grealish as well. I imagine they're both very hungover now, based on what Dean Smith said after the game about the only thing he wanted to do was get drunk with him. But Eddie Howe was close to tears as well, wasn't he? I feel like Eddie Howe's been on the verge of tears for about 6 months now.
It's been strange, hasn't it? We've talked about this, that Howe, in some of his interviews, has just said... Yeah, it felt like, oh, I don't know what to do. I can't seem to stop this. And, you know, they gave it their all on the last day. It was a good win.
Everton are exactly the team you want, especially with Pickford in generous mood. Just wasn't enough, was it?
But you're right. Like, they've lost so many games this season. And I mean, lost 19 of the last 25. You know, it was too little too late, ultimately, on the last day of the season.
It was.
We talked about this on Friday. I'm not sure what will happen there, because Howe said he was in reflective mood and so on and so forth. Do you think he'll be there next season?
It's funny. I read the Oliver Kay piece in The Athletic, his excellent piece in The Athletic, about Eddie Howe's future. And it's funny. He was saying how, after the game, Howe went into the middle of the pitch and he was pacing up and down with his phone on his ear, and you think, is he talking to his family? Is he talking to his agent to say, get me the hell out of here? He's actually talking to BBC Radio Solent. And that really sums him up, doesn't it? At the core of the club, at the core of the community. But I think just because it's difficult to imagine Bournemouth without Eddie Howe, it's probably difficult for him to imagine that, and it's difficult for them to imagine that. It doesn't mean it's the right thing. I think he should go now, even if there's not an obvious job for him, because, you know, you look at the way that football head coaches kind of power up when they're away from the game. They can go off, get a bit of perspective, stand back, take in the bigger picture, maybe go and see how some other clubs work. And of course, the longer they're away from the game, you forget the end bit where they struggled. His reputation will soar and soar and soar, and an opportunity will come up in 5-6 months that would be absolutely fantastic for him, I'm sure. And I just think it would be such a shame if he took them into the Championship, and they will lose a few of those players. I mean, obviously you can say that about relegated teams, but I don't know how they can hold David Brooks, for example. I think that's going to be really hard. And what I wouldn't want to do is them to go down, them have a couple of dodgy months in the Championship, and then him leave in like November, December when they're 14th. That wouldn't be the way to go out. I think they both need to move on.
Do you think it was inevitable, Jim, that with someone like Eddie Howe, realistically with Bournemouth, they're, you know, not going to win the league. It would be a monumental effort if they were to, say, qualify for the Europa. It was kind of like, for him to leave, if they're, say, a mid-table Premier League side, would be quite a hard thing, because you think to yourself, oh, but we're going well, let's do good. Yeah. Nothing's been said yet, of course, certainly not at the time of recording, that now they've gone down, it's kind of like, it almost forces his hand to kind of think.
Yeah, elsewhere. I mean, it's a natural point to reassess, isn't it? Because it depends on his ambitions as a coach. Because, you know, Sean Dyche is a good example himself, obviously, at Burnley, where actually you can go and build a legacy. And we're in a time where that's really, really rare. But it does happen, and it's probably a pretty nice way to live your life as well, especially given how loved he is around there. So it will be an incredible wrench to leave Bournemouth, because, you know, I've heard many, many times about how he really does have the run of the place, and it's so much of it is based around how he wants things to be, and you know, it's rare that you're going to get that anywhere else. Yeah. So, yeah, he will have to think about it.
But does he want that? I mean, the thing is, when you become this figure that does everything at a club, it's a bit like Pep Guardiola at Barcelona. When he took a little bit of time out, he found it a relief to get to to get to Bayern and just coach. The fact that everyone else looked after the other stuff. And that's the thing I think that people can miss about Eddie Howe. He's a really good coach. He's a player's coach. But is he something so much more at Bournemouth? Would it be maybe liberating for him to be something else somewhere else?
Perhaps. So I think what he probably should do, Andy, is take a sabbatical and spend a year in New York, just hipstering about like Pep Guardiola.
Hanging out with Gary Kasparov.
Is that what he did?
Yeah. I don't see why Eddie Howe shouldn't. I'm sure Kasparov would love to hear from him.
Yeah, I'm sure. He must.
Or Jay-Z, at least.
He can hook him up. I'd love that. I would absolutely love that. He said a weird thing in the post-match, which was that Everton had the scores of the other games up on the scoreboard. And that obviously Bournemouth weren't expecting that, having it basically rubbed in their faces the whole game. It's like, that's a bit...
Do you think they did that to try and help Bournemouth? Which seems odd. I have to say, that does seem odd. Why on earth?
I doubt it, Marcus.
Yeah, well, I mean, it just seems very odd why you would try and aid an opponent, even if you've got nothing to play for.
No, I don't think they're trying to aid them. I think they're trying to unnerve them, which makes it even funnier that they lost the game. But, like, kind of a shame for Bournemouth.
That
it just seems very... seems a bit naughty,
very
as you might
naughty.
Say.
Yeah, well, I don't like to think of these things that Carlo Ancelotti might sanction, Andy. I don't, you know.
But would he have sanctioned Moise Kean's celebration when he scored?
I don't like those.
A tap in that didn't really matter to anyone apart from him.
Oh, well, it was good to see him score, though.
Yeah, good on him.
Yeah, good on him for crying out loud. Yeah, but you've got a feel for them. I mean, while we're on the subject of Everton, what about Leighton Baines?
Yeah.
Retiring. Great servant of the club and the game, you might say.
Yeah, and indie blogs on football club websites.
I was going to say, what do we reckon? He's going to go and play keys for Gareth Ainsworth's band.
Oh, imagine.
You're talking.
Absolutely, that'd be brilliant. Keys and set pieces.
Exactly.
sounds like something out in Qatar. Elsewhere, sort of retirements, if you like, David Silva. He's not retired, but he's leaving the Premier League.
Yeah,
leaving the Premier League.
And he's someone who's absolutely changed the face of Premier League football.
Yes,
he's not just changed
the face of
Manchester
it.
City. Absolutely.
Unpack that.
You look at someone like him when he arrived, and we knew he was a top class player already, but someone who showed that. Along with Luka Modric, I think, and we've definitely mentioned this before, but someone who shows that you can play in the centre of the pitch without being built like a brick outhouse in the Premier League. He has changed the perception of what it is to be a midfield player.
I think you find Danny Murphy did that at Fulham, mate, years ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing to do with Dixon or Tuhu.
It's like you, rather than ran out of steam there, it's like you pulled over into a lay-by and went, oh, fine. Talk about Danny Murphy, fine. But I'm completely with you on David Silva, absolutely.
He's one of those players
managed to do that. And also, he's one of those players who's often described as being underrated, who's so underrated, they're obviously really, really rated. Mm. But I think...
Is it because you can't find the words to rate him?
I think it is that. I think it genuinely is that. I think you can't really mm-hmm. do justice to how good and influential mm. he's been easily. So in conclusion, David Silva, mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
That's fairly... comprehensive assessment, so, I think, of his time.
I don't know. Like, talking about not being able to find the words to describe how good he is, mm-hmm. I don't think damning with faint praise should necessarily be the option we should pick up there. He is all right.
I mean,
it's funny, actually. I remember chatting to a French footballer a while ago who'd learned English over here. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the greatest players from France. And he was going, yeah, Zidane's decent. I was like, how can you just say Zidane's decent? But he was saying, decent.
Right.
Because he's learned English over here. So for him, decent is phenomenal.
Yeah, but I often think decent is like very good, which obviously...
Yeah, it is. It is now.
Yeah, but I said this on the radio once and said, oh, I think, you know, Marcus Rashford's a decent young player. And then the host said, well, he's more than decent, Marcus.
Mm.
It depends on how it gives you a little insight.
It depends on how literally you take the semantics of the word, doesn't it? Because that's like saying, I tell you what, that Marcus Rashford is very well mannered.
Yeah,
like
he's not naked. Is another way.
I think going back to Silva very, very briefly, though, it's the significance of his position in Man City's current status in the game is huge mm-hmm. as well. Because when he first came in, it was he and Yaya Toure came in together, didn't they, around about the same time. And yes. that was really the foundation of their first truly, truly good team. And he's been there a long time.
Could he dine out with the Champions League winners' medal for Manchester City?
Oh, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Would you fancy them for the Champions League, Andy?
I'm not convinced. I think there's a little bit more to come in that tie with Real Madrid. And of course, we now know Real Madrid are actually allowed to come to Manchester for the second mm-hmm. leg.
Oh, I think that would be very interesting indeed.
It will be.
Yes, indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a quick break, and after which we'll talk about Leicester and Manchester United.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Jack
Sackmates Happy Hour is back for a brand new season. It's the podcast where we talk to some of the most exciting people in the world, from Ricky Gervais.
In some ways, fame makes you a better person. You know, it's like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God watching me, but I know someone with
everyone else's.
To undercover police officers.
Can you see the fading scar there, gentlemen?
Yeah.
That's where I was stabbed in the neck by a drug dealer once.
Or we just talk about whatever's making us laugh right now.
When you think back to school kid banter, like, it's well funny because of how immature it is. We had this teacher called Mr. McGibbon, and he had this big cushion that he was teaching us how to rugby tackle on. He just ran up to it, rugby tackled it, but landed on top of it, and one of the kids shouted, "It's not your wife, sir."
That is funny.
Listen to Jack Mate's Happy Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Jack Mate's Happy Hour is a Staccano production.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Now it's time for a recap of the final week of Betway's Four to Score. In our first game, Chelsea versus Wolves, Andy picked Christian Pulisic, but it was Mason Mount who opened the scoring with that superb free kick.
Who does he think he is taking that free kick?
David Beckham against Colombia? Yeah. I don't know, Andy.
He looks like he thinks he's one of Deftones with that little beard.
We fared a bit better in game two. Luke picked Harry Kane in Crystal Palace versus Tottenham, and he did open the scoring. Kate brought us back down to earth in the Harry Maguire derby as Bruno Fernandes opened the scoring, not Mr. Maguire. And predictably, I was correct with Jack Grealish scoring the first goal in Villa away to West Ham. So 2 out of 4. Not bad. I think that's our best, our joint best 2 out of 4. I don't think we've got 3 out of 4 yet, unless my memory fails me. But two Betway customers did even better as they picked Kane, Mount, Fernandes and Grealish.
Yes.
How about that? They share the £25,000 jackpot to finish the season, and in total, customers have won over £700,000 this season on Four to Score. We will be back with Betway's Four to Score next season, of course. To be honest, not that. Sometimes you get a bit of a curveball in there, but Kane, Mount, Fernandes and Grealish.
I think Mount's a good shout. Mount's the variable in there.
Well, now we know he takes free kicks, Jim, like that. All right, then. Well, let's go to Chelsea and Manchester United and Leicester, because it was two of the three were going to qualify for the Champions League, and it was Leicester City who missed out. Oh, in a barn burner at the Walker Stadium, Andy. My goodness, you could take your eyes off it, could you?
Well, it should have been.
Yeah.
It should have been. I mean, Manchester United, I think it's really a tribute to how well they've done and how well they've done to get into the Champions League, that for the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've looked really tired. Tired. And there was no intensity in that. I think they did well to hang on. I think if you've got a team with a little bit more confidence than Leicester, and dare I say maybe even a bit more quality than Leicester, I think in that first half, United are maybe in a bit of trouble. But you know, they did very well to tough it out. Obviously, the Bruno Fernandes penalty kind of let the air out of the balloon. I think it's fair to say Leicester were always struggling to get back into it after that. And, you know, I feel a great deal of sympathy for Leicester after a season in which they looked like they were going to get it the whole way. But I feel this is absolutely vital to Manchester United. What I do feel, though, is that so often with Manchester United under Solskjaer is that the result is used as the justification of the means. They have to get a lot better if they're going to be genuine challengers. We can't overlook the fact that Bruno Fernandes has totally transformed their season. Without Bruno Fernandes, they are not in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. It is that simple. I know there are other signs of promise in the team. Rashford, Martial coming back to better form over the last couple of months, the emergence of Mason Greenwood, etc., etc. There is a lot to do with that team. And whereas Solskjaer wasn't the dunce who was causing it all to go wrong before, he's not the genius who's made it all happen now either. And there are a few big leaps to take.
But that surely, I mean, obviously Bruno Fernandes loves taking a leap lately, so that's a good a little penalty leap. Weird. Love it though. But I mean, Solskjaer getting them into the Champions League does allow them to make these changes that they need, doesn't it? It was absolutely crucial that they did that. And let's be honest, probably all of us sat around this table thought that he wouldn't even be in the job at this point, at points during the season, because it was looking really, really sort of drab. And fair play to him. He's created a little bit of a siege mentality, I think, as well. He was quite snippy in the post-match, talking about how a lot of the press weren't expecting him to be there at all. And I quite like it from Solskjaer.
Everyone loves an underdog story, AJ.
Yeah, right. But it's
and what better way to celebrate your underdog victory than going and buying Jadon Sancho?
Yeah, well, that'd be interesting to see if they can pull that one off. But they're in a position to do that sort of business now, aren't they?
Yeah.
It would have been a lot harder for them. And, you know, the Pogba thing's going to roll on and on and on, but it looks like he could stay, and that if he did, it wouldn't be the worst thing at the moment. Like, these are things you would not expect to be hearing around Christmas.
Yes, I think the chronology really works for them. That's why it's so important for them to qualify for the Champions League now, because this summer, they've got a clear run at Sancho. Now, next summer, maybe post-redevelopment of the Bernabeu, Real Madrid have a tickle as well, but this summer, they can't. And you look at Paul Pogba, it's a kind of marriage of convenience thing,
yeah,
that they extend him this season, that they extend his contract this season, because it's best for him after an almost completely empty season, and it's best for them. I mean, and Solskjaer always wanted to build around him, which, in fairness to Solskjaer, no other Manchester United coach really identified, which I find a bit bizarre. Mm. Like, that you bring in a player like that, the most expensive player in the world at the time, and the don't build
like,
around him.
Yeah, look, the idea was he would almost be the jewel in the crown, not just of Man United, but of like the Premier League itself.
Yeah,
that seemed to be what the ambition was, wasn't it? But no,
I quite like your pronunciation of Solskjaer. You go for Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Whereas I prefer the Sean Connery approach, just with the pronunciation of that name, by the way. Solskjaer.
Not Ole.
Yeah. Whereas Solskjaer. Solskjaer? How do you say it, Jim?
I think I just sort of change it every time. I don't really think about it too much, otherwise it would come out as a sort of noise.
Yeah.
To be honest, I would defer to Andy.
I mean, really, he is moving into... it's a moot point, because he is moving into that Beyonce territory where he's just referred to by his first name.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Well, what about Leicester? Is it a disappointing season?
Oh, Marcus, obviously, if you look at the position at the end, they'd be happy with that at the start, but it's a failure.
Yeah.
It's a huge failure for them not to get into the Champions League, given the context of the season, and I'd be really frustrated if I was a Leicester fan, I think. Like, it's just...
Would you hold the golden boot whilst gritting your teeth in front of the main stand at the King Power?
I mean, it's a shame that ends up almost like as a consolation for Jamie Vardy, because he's had a phenomenal season. But Brendan Rodgers... you know, they were flying high, earlier on in the season, of course. Here's a stat for you. And yes, we are going to mention that result, ladies and gentlemen, but in the context of Leicester more than Southampton.
I don't think that's ever been done before, actually.
Well, since that game, the 9-0, Southampton have gone on, this is according to Opta Joe, Southampton have gone on to earn 44 points, two more than Leicester managed.
Wow.
Since that game.
Amazing.
That is incredible.
Mm.
It just shows you, isn't it? It's like two different seasons split in half. And it's that'll be so frustrating for Rodgers, because that is a black mark against his name, isn't it? It's...
Speaking of which, Jim, do you think if Leicester don't start next season particularly well, there's a little suggestion of pressure on Brendan Rodgers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Because this... you know, obviously, getting into the Europa League is a good thing for them, and that will bring its own challenges.
And no qualifying rounds as well. We have to say that.
They're much more likely to go deeper in the Europa than the Champions League.
Yeah, very much so. But I think there will be, because every time they go on a little bad run, there'll be a suspicion that it might last for 10, 15 games. You know,
I think there's a bit of grace for Rodgers at the start of next season. I just think they'll just think, okay, pandemic, restart, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I think the way he has, you know, considering they lost Maguire at the start of the season, the way he's brought in Soyuncu, they've had some injuries, Ben Chilwell among them as well.
Madison,
you know, and Didi at times. So I think they have been poor since the restart. There's no doubt about that. They've had injuries and so on. I think Rodgers will be there next season obviously he'll be there next season. That'd be mad if they change him now, I think. But I would imagine he'd be there for the whole of next season, unless it's an absolute disaster. Because I think he's doing good stuff. I think he really... I understand what you mean. That it is disappointing that they didn't get to the Champions League, fourth place or whatever. But you look at the Leicester City's finishes, other than the league win, was it ninth, their best season since they finished? So they have improved. Speaking of top scorers, though, I mean, you know, Jamie Vardy with 23 goals in the Premier League this season. He's won the Golden Boot. The age he is, to keep him going, that is very, very important. I mean, you know, compare that to other teams. I mean, Newcastle's top scorer was Big Jonge with 6 goals in the league this season.
Is anyone else surprised that he scored 6?
Yeah, I am. I don't remember. No deflections?
6 goals. Well, not that one against Manchester City. Come on. Don't be like that, Jim. But what about Frank Lampard and Chelsea, Andy? How impressed have you been with him and them?
Impressed, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go all feverish over it. I think there's room for improvement. I think he recognises there's room for improvement. And I think, funnily enough, the fact that the parameters of the season changed so much was interesting and something that affected him. I mean, he's still a young coach, and I think it's easy to forget that sometimes because of the history he's got with Chelsea, because of the unique status he has there. But I think that the transfer ban being shortened halfway through the season did play with expectations, play with his outlook a little bit as well. And that made parts of the second season more difficult than it could have been. But, you know, a terrific way to end against a team that really needed a result as well in Wolves. And so to get that over the line's hugely important because, you know, they did have their moments in the Champions League this season. I say that they're still in it as we speak, aren't they? Even though probably in all likelihood not for much longer. But you know, that's something they'll be looking to build on as well. And you know, they're hugely ambitious. I just think what's so interesting, I want to know how much money they've got in the pot. I know we never really know that with most teams, but you look at the fact that they've got Ziyech, they've got very close to Havertz. The front half of the team looks fantastic. I mean, this could be Keegan's Newcastle all over again.
Surely going to address that though.
But have they got the money after buying Havertz? Say Havertz is €80 million up front. How have they got the money to buy a goalkeeper and at least 2 defenders?
Yeah, this is
the required standard. I'm not saying getting in Pap Djilobodji again.
But this is, we can see this. Do you know what I mean? So Frank Lampard can see this. Yeah. And everybody at Chelsea can see this.
There's
no way they've just overlooked all this. But it's completely right because they have already.
I would love it if he genuinely didn't get. If he was in a meeting with Marina Granovskaya and she said, Frank, we need to talk about defenders. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. Right. That's not my bag.
You just need to lay it off to a deep line midfielder making a late run.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah. that's all you've got to do. Don't worry about that lot. I promise you, I know. It's my thing.
It's not that difficult.
Yeah. But I think it has been a good season for Lampard, though, because, you know, the circumstances are very weird. They were weird for them anyway without the pandemic. But he's got them a top 4 finish. He's got them a cup final as well. And that could go either way, was to see. But that is sort of, that's what's expected of Chelsea, isn't it? That you're getting into Europe, perhaps winning a trophy. And also he's managed to not just introduce, but establish a lot of young players, which has been a thing that's been levelled at them for a long, long time that they don't do that. So I think, you know, credit where it's due. I think he's done a great job.
I completely agree. I know Manchester United have been a bit poor and Leicester have dropped off. But I mean, you know, teams, you know, that's their business.
But it's interesting, isn't it, how Chelsea's season wasn't going to be dictated by results at all.
No.
It was going to be dictated by player development, as you see.
Yeah.
As you said. And then halfway through the season, that completely changes. Because expectations are raised by the work that he did in the first year and what those players have produced. And by the fact that they're no longer under the transfer ban. So I think to sort of be able to surf that is very impressive.
I think they've done well.
Could it be that actually the transfer ban has been one of those sort of behind closed doors things where it only applies to defenders? Like it's still there, just on the sly.
Yeah. I think if you look at it, deliver Champions League football, and to quote any British presenter to any British athlete who's reached a final in the Olympics, you know, they've got the silver medal in the bag, at least. So could be a gold one, Jim. You don't know. But I think it's very impressive for Chelsea, ultimately. And they're in the Champions League with Manchester United, not Leicester City. which is a shame.
You really Jeff Shreves that there.
Yeah, I did.
Just in case you're a Leicester fan, you've listened to the last 10 minutes and you weren't sure what the situation was.
It was a little kick in the shin.
Exactly.
I apologise on behalf of...
Don't apologise to me, apologise to Brendy.
Sorry, Brendy. You're absolutely right. I think I'm gutted, that's what it is. Yeah. I'm just gutted for old Rogers and the boys. What about Mourinho's celebrations getting into the Europa League? Think that's will that warm the cockles of Spurs fans or anger them, or will they not care?
Remind me of what they were, because from what I remember, it's him just saying, "Always I qualify for Europe."
Yeah,
like, I got into the Europa League. I love it.
No, they had a little huddle. There was a proper celebration there when they, you know, they'd realised that they got over the line and they're in the Europa. Andy, he's got a good. You know, relative. He won it, of course, with Manchester United when he won the treble.
Said it was the biggest trophy in their history, didn't he? He's so good at this. Yeah. He's just so good.
Physically, he's got a point, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an enormous trophy.
It really is.
I mean, and Manchester United, Tottenham, or anyone else can't win the Copa del Rey. So that's going to remain the case. Mm-hmm.
Or the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. I don't know. One of our number may have tweeted, should I be happy that Spurs have qualified?
Well, this is isn't it? The Europa League is a real slog. Like, it's one of those things where you know that you need to be in it for financial reasons, because it gives you a boost, mm-hmm. and all those margins are so important in modern football. But it is a slog of a competition that does impact your season in the league.
You say that, but I think Tottenham are in a unique position to manage that. I mean, I think getting into the qualifiers for the Europa League is a double-edged sword for if you're Burnley or Hull, or if you're Sheffield United, for example, or someone like that. I think that can be really, really difficult. But you're in such a position to manage it if you've got a squad like Tottenham. Mm-hmm. And you can do that for the whole group stages, can't you? I mean, the fact is, you'll
be
able to...
Before, haven't they?
Yeah, you'll be able to play a half and half team for the whole group stages and you'll still get through.
Yeah, Harry Kane was their Europa League striker for a bit and it seemed to work out all right.
And goalkeeper.
Well, they won't be facing Juventus in the Europa League, of course.
That's a shock, isn't it?
Magic, you know. 9 in a row. Eh? Juventus won Serie A. They beat Sampdoria 2-0.
There were lots of big hugs on the pitch afterwards.
There's going to be big hugs, and it's a league title.
That must be a heartwarming title, eh?
But I know what you're going to say. How do you feel anything when you've won it for 9 in a row? You say, tell that to Gonzalo Higuain. When you're getting a hug off Pavel Nedved, who's celebrating it like it's their first one, I would love a hug off Nedved.
They're not pleased for Sarri, Andy. I mean, it was not that long ago when he was in his 40s. He was working at a bank, and now he's 61. He won his first league title.
Do you think he
again? It's a fairy tale, as Jim says. Seeing a banker make good, it's what the world loves to see.
Do you think I picture him as like a bank clerk, just sitting there eating fags, cash people's checks? I'm sure it wasn't that. A hug off Pavel Nedved. I'm still thinking about that. Pavel Nedved,
would he lift you up?
Like your mum's mate, isn't he?
Yeah,
with that hair, he just looks like your mum's mate.
Yes. Yes.
Surely they'd lift you up, Dirty Dancing style.
Yeah, very much so.
That's a trick. You know, a little Dybala, maybe.
Do you reckon that's what he's whispering in the ear of Gonzalo? Are you having the time of your life, Gonzalo?
Yeah, I think so. Sarri's having the time of his life, although he'd probably get sacked, won't he, for this?
Well, you think of... Well, the season's very much not over for them. Yeah. Just as it's not over for Hansi Flick or Thomas Tuchel or anyone like that. So much of their season is to be defined by what happens after the league.
Mm. In this little tournament in Lisbon. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
City of the Five Hills, yes, please.
a trophy has been won in France, Andy, though. PSG beat Saint-Étienne 1-0. Oh, again, another fairy tale. Not for Mr. Perrin, though. He was sent off for a horror tackle on Mbappe. It was awful business. And that was his last match before retiring.
Well, that was his last moment in football.
Yeah, his 469th game for Saint-Étienne. And it was ruined by him thinking, Kylian Mbappe's in full flight. I bet I can get the ball if I just slide tackle him. I mean, I don't really know what's going through his head. I know some people have said sympathy for him. He didn't really try to go and wipe him out. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Mbappe's, it's an awful, awful
Mbappe's
tackle.
So fast. And just the way his ankle goes. I mean, Mbappe was talking to...
Johnny Evans-esque, Andy.
Yeah, well, he was talking to Emmanuel Macron, the president, afterwards, mm-hmm. Kylian Mbappe. And he said...
What a smart conversation.
I know. And he said he heard his ankle crack.
Ooh.
So I think he was expecting something worse. Mm. For him, it's going to be that he's not going to make the Coupe de France final because, of course, they're playing Coupe de la Ligue final, because, of course, they're playing another cup final against Lyon next Friday. Mm-hmm. And then they go on to play it to Atalanta. And whether he's going to be fully fit for that, you know, it's touch and go whether he makes it at all. Mm-hmm. But to go in on three quarters of an ankle even is a huge risk. Of course, they've got Angel Di Maria suspended for that game as well. Mm. And so much is riding on this game. Of course, as Jim says, it's a unique tournament in Lisbon. So there's not even a second leg to put it right if you cock it up in the first game. So much is riding on this for Thomas Tuchel and for Paris Saint-Germain. And it's all going to fall to Neymar to do it. Seemingly, which is what he was brought in for, and
it's
which is
what he wants,
what he's not been able to do in the Champions League since he's arrived at PSG. But like you say, Marcus, it is what he wants. He is one of those guys with that overdeveloped sense of responsibility that I want to do it all, and he's going to have to do that, isn't he?
One thing that's been interesting with the lack of fans in stadiums, although I know there was it 5,000 fans were allowed into the cup final.
Although they were so quiet, tentative and well-mannered, it felt like it was empty and it was just the coaching staff shouting. I mean, none of the ultras came either from Paris Saint-Germain or from Saint-Étienne. Mm-hmm. They both had their own bars in separate places elsewhere in Paris from which where they watched the game, because the ultras were, well, if some of us can't go, none of us going.
I see. But one of the things I found quite heartening, I suppose, since the lockdown, when teams have been playing in empty stadiums, is I know this is going to sound a bit stupid, but players still fully celebrate. You know, like Liverpool being there's still that real emotion. The thing that has changed or slightly been a little bit different is apparently people moaning to the referee and play acting. Apparently those are two things that they think that because of the emotions of the fans and all that kind of stuff, that heightens it a little bit. So
Kylian Mbappe definitely wasn't play acting.
No,
it was like genuinely hurt. I think I
stressed that wasn't a comment on Kylian Mbappe.
That was quite a ruck, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, it wasn't just pushing.
Yeah. No, it was like there was a couple of fights that very nearly broke out there.
I mean, it was the classic bit of refereeing in that it's way too much to unpick. I'll just put one from either side and we'll leave it there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like pre VAR like refereeing, wasn't it?
It'd take ages to untangle all that from VAR. Could you imagine?
If this was in Turkey, what they would have done is they would have replayed it over 20 minutes, frame by frame, and then like five people would have been sent off at the end of it.
We've not had a VAR brawl yet, have we? A sort of like Battle of Old Trafford style.
Almost like, you know when
like
you occasionally... Police going through sort of CCTV on a Friday night kind of thing.
Oh, God, that would be tedious, wouldn't it? That's bound to happen at one point.
Hopefully not. Do you think police should be the VAR instead of referees?
Depends because... what's gone on.
maybe that's the way to sort out VAR.
Really? Why would they think? Would the police say, "Yep, Jamie Vardy definitely pickpocketed the defender"?
Well, Howard Webb was a policeman, wasn't he?
Was he?
So, yeah, I believe so.
Is he going to be on the new FIFA game, Jim?
I don't believe so, but I think I know someone who might be.
Big Mikey Dean, apparently. Mike Dean's beard. Will that be on the new FIFA?
I hope that's an option.
Yeah.
So you can pick your referee, and it'll be Mike Dean.
Beard or
Mike Dean? Beard.
Clean shaven.
Yeah.
Apparently, in the new FIFA game, the referees are going to be on their end.
Will he be standing on a crush barrier at a lower league stadium? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
would be a way to enter the game. You know, pretty much like LeBron James chalk toss.
Yeah.
That would be the Mike Dean entrance, wouldn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
Or, Griezmann celebrating with Barcelona with the.
Yeah, that's him doing the LeBron James chalk toss.
Yeah. But that's my reference point, Andy. So, you know. There we are. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Premier League is over for another year. Another season, should I say. I mean, I know it sounds such a bloody obvious thing, but it's the end of July. I'm still talking about it. So it seems
almost a calendar year.
Absolutely baffling. So there we are. On tomorrow's show, Kate, Andy and Pete are going to talk about all manner of things. Goodness knows what. So do get your I was going to say tune in, but download, of course, because we're not on radio. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.